I have time for this, I thought. Well, how to move him along. Well, okay. Quickly, tell me quickly, because, you know, I do hate to, just then the bartender came out from the back holding my beer, looking around for me. I waved him down to where I was sitting, and I sat down next to Rumpled Fisherman and took a first tentative sip of my beer. Did you ever hear the story of the lost ship of the desert? He said. I shook my head no. Okay, it was a lie. I'd heard of it. Yeah, I heard of it. But I didn't want to engage him anymore or give him a reason to continue. The lost ship of the desert actually refers to a number of different stories. But the most prevalent one is that a Spanish galleon sailed up the Gulf of California into Lake Cahia, which was a whole giant sea that stretched from the Gulf of California all the way up to Palm Springs in ancient times. Well, actually as recently as the late 1600s. You can see the waterline of the ancient lake on the mountains that ring the desert. Supposedly, all this debris came down the Colorado River as a result of it carving the Grand Canyon, and it eventually closed off the lake from where it connected to the Gulf of California. And supposedly, a Spanish galleon had sailed into the lake at the very last possible point when it was navigable before it closed up. So the ship was unable to escape Lake Cahula and return to the Gulf of California and be on its way. And supposedly, there's a lot of treasure on board, and the ship eventually sinks or something, and then hundreds of years go by, and the lake dries up completely, and sandstorms bury most of the ship. But from time to time, the shifting sand will reveal part of the ship, and then people go looking for it. They go try to dig it up and discover that buried treasure. Now, in 1905, when through an engineering accident while building the All-American Canal, the desert was flooded once again by the Colorado River, then the Salton Sea was created. They say that that ship now is not only under the sand, but at the bottom of the Salton Sea. But, yeah, I just wanted to move him along. I nodded, and then I looked hopefully at the door to the patio. I wanted to get out there. Well, yes, it's an old one, it's an old tale, and it's been told and it's been mistold, he said. It's been called a folk tale, a campfire story, and altogether dismissed. I nodded, trying to speed him up with the speed of my nodding. And then when he paused, and I jumped in. Well, thanks for telling me. That is interesting, I said, and I started to stand up. But he forced me back down with his considerable grip on my arm. Can you hear them giving speeches, I said, and I gestured to the back patio with my head. Someone was saying, before we begin the wedding, we'd like to thank so-and-so and so-and-so, and we're going to hear from so-and-so. The rumpled fisherman didn't even acknowledge that they were speaking, that I was trying to slip from his grip. And he looked at me and said, that ship, someone's down there with that ship. Sorry, what? That's right. The story's true. There's a lost ship at the bottom of the Salton Sea, but it's not filled with treasure, not gold or pearls, something far greater. I've seen it, he said. Back when I was fishing regular on the sea, when I was younger and the water was clear, I was out early in the morning. I was way out there in the middle, straight out from Red Hill. And then just then my line went taut and I thought I'd caught a whale. I pulled back hard and the line jerked back. Jerked tight again. I tried to reel it in, but I couldn't. I couldn't pull. At last, I concluded that I must have snagged it on something on the bottom. So I set my pole down to clear the line, and just then, it jerked again and pulled my pole over the side. I looked, and I could see it sinking to the bottom. Like I said, I was young, And I didn't have much money, and I couldn't afford to lose that pole. So without thinking, I took a big breath and dove over the side. I could see it glinting, the reel, as it sank deeper and deeper. And as it got darker, I marked the spot in my mind and kept swimming straight towards it, straight down after I lost in the dark. It must have been the adrenaline. I must have been swimming pretty fast, because before I knew it, it was so dark that I slammed into the hard bottom. I hit my head. I must have been on a rock or something. And I felt warm blood. And then the panic took over. I realized what I'd done. My lungs were burning. How far? How deep was I? I felt faint. I looked up, and I saw in the far, far distance the bright sun on the surface filtering down to where I could almost touch it. But I didn't know how deep I was or how far away the surface was. The old fisherman moved closer on his stool. And now somehow he appeared, well, not young exactly, but stronger, and his eyes and his skin less gray, bright even. For the first time, I forgot that the wedding, which must have surely begun, was going on. I couldn't even hear the music or muffled speaking from the patio outside. I was so captivated. I could only see the fisherman in my mind, see him bleeding, lungs about to burst, losing consciousness in the darkness at the bottom of the sea.